Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin.
Well, happy Halloween, everyone, and thanks for taking the time on this beautiful Sunday, at least up here in the Northwest, to listen to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, joined with the beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry. We're just no guests tonight. We're just going to talk. I got some stuff I want to talk about that's not paranormal related, and I also have some paranormal topics if we have time. But, Sherry, how you doing?
Good. How are you? I'm doing really well. How about you, Jason? I hear that you're kind of feeling it as the weather.
Yeah, I don't feel great. What I want to talk about is why I don't feel great. But do you have, before I start on that, that's going to be a little long. Do you have any updates, anything you want to briefly talk about before I get into that?
Well, I just want to say that we were kind of a little bit on a, what do you call that, a hiatus, right, for about 4 weeks.
Yeah, we were. We were, we got life. Life gets in the way. You know, sometimes you just don't feel like doing it. Sometimes you're just busy doing stuff at work. But today we are live. We are live on.
Yay! And to all our listeners and our audience, that tomorrow will be literally October 31st will be my 7th year on Paranormal Horizons.
That is amazing. Let's get a sound effect for that. There we go. Congratulations on your 7-year anniversary.
I can't believe it, 7 years.
Time flies. I mean, I can't believe it either. It's just like, I don't even know. Time is accelerated.
It is. Well, Jason, just in case, we're going to tell you a story, but just in case anybody wants to share any type of paranormal experiences, questions or anything, do you want to have an open line just in case people may want to call in for something?
Yeah, if anybody wants to call in, calls are always welcome. You can call 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999.
Excellent. Wow. And those of you who are not, haven't been listening, but I was on Clyde Lewis's Ground Zero 2 nights ago, Friday night's show. And really quickly, I was literally just helping describe, but Clyde Lewis and a gal named Trisha were actually summoning a topa spirit, Dr. Kilgore. And she's like a prophet. It was a very interesting show. A lot of people. I was going to say thousands. It was millions and millions of people live on air. It was crazy. Phones were going off and, you know, everything was, people were just really excited to hear it. Like Clyde said, it was one of the best shows of the year he's had.
Oh, very nice.
Talk about you, Jason.
Yeah, so this is absolutely nothing to do with the paranormal, just my personal suffering, which is, and I've mentioned this over the years, how many years I've been doing this many times, you know, my heart is structurally fine, thankfully, but it palpates all the time. Like when I'm talking palpitations, PVCs and PACs, PVCs are premature ventricle contractions, PACs are premature atrial contractions, and it's annoying. Sometimes it's every other beat. It could last like that for months on end. You feel it in your throat. You don't feel good. So this has been vexing me for, well, over a decade. And over the course of the last, I don't know, 15 years, I've had several stress tests, a couple echocardiograms, you know, I've been to the ER half a dozen times, because it's distracting, and it's hard to believe that if your heart is beating so regularly, that how could there nothing be wrong with it? I mean, sometimes you put try and take your pulse, and you can't because it's just so off, you know. And these are common, and pretty much the vast majority of people have PACs and PVCs occasionally, you know, when you feel your heart skip a beat or it feels like it stops or double beat. You know, those are usually those types of arrhythmia. And generally, it's not a problem because they're super common. But very few people, well, not very few people, but the vast minority of people, such as myself, have very irritable hearts where it's just long stretches of this just nonstop. And you don't want your heart to be doing this for extended periods of time because it could cause a certain type of heart failure. I mean, think of your heart such as the motor in your car. If it doesn't beat the way it's supposed to, if your motor's not running the way it should, your car's going to run like crap. And it's kind of the same thing with your heart. So this has been tormenting me. I mean, even right now, it's just completely irregular. It's driving me crazy. I've had it checked out so many times that it kind of gets to the point of it being redundant because I know what it is, you know. But anyway, it had been a decade since I had it really evaluated. So I went to a cardiologist and I figured, well, it's time. Let's just look at this again and see what, you know, it's not changing or whatever. So, of course, I knew what he would want to do would be a cardiac stress test. So I have taken 3 cardiac stress tests, and to give you an idea, if you've never had one, it's completely traumatic to me. I hate it. I dread it. You go there, and to most people that don't have an anxiety disorder, it's no big deal. But to somebody like me, you know, who has an anxiety disorder and overthinks everything. Anyway, so as scheduled, I knew that was going to come. And so basically what you do is you go there, they, you know, they put a 12-lead EKG on you, and they have a treadmill, and it's in stages. So the first stage is slow with, I think it was a 10% grade, and then every 3 minutes it bumps up, it gets faster, the grade goes higher. Every 3 minutes the grade goes higher. And what they want to do is look at your EKG while your heart is under stress, to see if there's any changes that could indicate that you have blocked arteries or some other rhythm problems and stuff like that. So, it sucks. And I was fortunate. I had worked that day. I was going after work, and my heart wasn't palpitating. I was like, sweet. I was so excited. I can do this test without my heart beating irregularly. I get there, and wouldn't you know, it starts palpating, and I'm like, oh, come on. And so they do an EKG first when you're resting, and my EKG is wonky for some reason, even outside of those palpitations. And so that just added stress on me, you know, and I'm nervous. Surprisingly, my blood pressure is good, but the doctor was busy, so I literally sat back there with, you know, all the EKG leads on me for probably 45 minutes to an hour. And I had to go to the bathroom you know, shirt on, and the bathroom was outside of the exam room. So I'm basically walking in the back end of this clinic where there's employees. And I went to the bathroom, I walked out, and there are 2 ladies sitting there. And I'm always a smart ass, and I try and be funny. And I look at them as I walk by, and I said, this is what a real man looks like. I don't think they appreciated it. Because I'm pretty heavy. And so anyway, we go there. I do the stress test, and it's get my heart rate up to 168. But I was only on the treadmill for like 7 minutes and into the third stage. But at that point, you're walking really fast uphill. And so my not great shape. It wasn't. That's not terrible. You know, most people maybe do 10 minutes or 8 minutes, something like that, and I did just over 7. But it was traumatic because I don't like to feel my heart beating fast. You know, I don't like being out of breath. I don't like my heart like going 160 beats a minute. That's super uncomfortable for me. So I got to go, and he wanted me to wear a Holter monitor, which is basically an EKG. The one that I'll be getting is you wear it for 2 weeks, and it records your heart for 2 weeks, which I didn't want to get because I know what's happening. It's not, you know, I don't need to wear an EKG for 2 weeks. I've already done that one before, too. So anyway, and then I asked for a CT calcium score. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm. No.
So when you have blockages in your arteries, it's kind of a newer thing, not super new. The only way to really know if you have blockages to do is an angiogram. You know, basically stick a catheter into your heart and put in dye and then get a CT scan. It's pretty invasive. There are risks associated. That's the gold standard. Stress tests are not reliable at all. In fact, I don't even know why people still do stress tests because they only really identify blockages that are over 70% when the vast majority of heart attacks are with people that have arteries blocked less than that. But I'm going to do the CT thing. And basically, so when you have blockages in your arteries, it's usually soft plaques and stuff like that. But over time, you develop calcium in your arteries. And the CT scan detects the calcium, and it gives you a score of how much calcium you have in your arteries, which is good to know. But it can't detect all the soft buildup in there. But it's just another test in the arsenal to find out if you have blockages, which I'm sure I do. I mean, most people do. Once you start hitting your teens is when it begins. So anyway, so I'm going down the cardiac rabbit hole once again, and I hate it.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Jeez. So how are you feeling now, Jason? Are you feeling kind of out of sorts, or you're hanging in there, or what?
I feel like ass because my heart's not beating the way it should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. But it's nothing new. Am I going to lose sleep over it? No, because I've had it for so long. I've had it for so long that it doesn't disturb my sleep. And you look online and people are saying, I can't sleep with these and the blah, 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 blah. No, I'll sleep like a baby because when you have something for 15 years, you'll never get used to it 100%. But it's just annoying. And everybody in life has the things that torment them. Some people have broken hearts from lost love. Some people have money problem. Some people have more serious conditions such as cancers and strokes and stuff. But this small problem is still annoying nevertheless. And that's what I've been cursed with in my life path. And it's annoying. I mean, yeah, it's not cancer. I see that every day at work. But, you know, sometimes things don't have to be terminal illness to drive you crazy. Sometimes it could be the little things, frequent headaches. You suffer from nausea all the time. I mean, those things really take away from the quality of life. And yet they're not terminal or, you know, and stuff like that. So it's one of those chronic annoyances that just sucks.
So what are the doctors? Do they have any kind of conclusions or suspicions or anything like that with you? What's going on? What did the doctor say?
Well, because I was palpating at the time before I got on the treadmill, the PVCs are coming from different areas of my heart, that in itself isn't good. Most of the time it comes from one part of the heart. But I wasn't getting a lot of them when exercise, which is good. You know, there's medication you can take, but I've already been down that before. I took a medication for 10 years, and it did nothing, absolutely nothing to help me. And plus, I don't like taking medication to begin with, because I don't trust big pharma. You know, our society wants you to be sick so somebody can make some money. And so I don't like taking pills. Sometimes there's a need for that. Sometimes pills save lives. But I'm not a big fan of it.
Well, you know, Jason, I do Chinese medicine, so if you're serious and getting into the problem, I can help you.
I'm sure it's something simple, because I know there's nothing structurally wrong with my heart. That's one of the big concerns that you have when you start having weird stuff go on. But the electrolytes you have in your blood, sodium, potassium, phosphorus, magnesium. And if any of those get out of whack, which we know because I've talked about this before, my phosphorus was really low for a long time, and that was a result of really low vitamin D. My potassium is almost low. Last time I was in the ER, they gave me potassium. So it could just be something simple like that. So I'm really trying to – I told you before we actually went on the air, I actually bought a blender, a nice one, and I'm kind of getting into making fruit smoothies just to get more of those healthy things from fruit, like the flavonoids and stuff like that. And some fruits are heavy in potassium. So I'm going to try that and see if that helps. And, of course, exercise more and try and lose 100 pounds would be great. Actually, that'd be too much. Lose about 80 pounds.
Just need to really take care of your health and just really concentrate on just being healthy as much as you can. That's the main thing. That's crazy. It's interesting as a medical medium in Chinese medicine, not allopathic, but in Chinese medicine, the human body will always tell me everything, even in whether it's animals, whether it's birds or any animal, they'll tell me, the body will always tell me as its natural state when I go and scan them. Quite often, and I'm going to say this, and I say this all the time, 90% to 95% of the population, and this is just a generality, 90% to 95% of the people are not connected with their body. So either they have a high tolerance to pain, number one, or there's just a disconnection. So maybe they're just not used to it. They medical medium. I didn't even know my own body. I know when things shift. I know how I feel. I know if there's any type of, cellular changes in my body and everything else. So that's what I do all the time. But most people are not. Animals always speak. The animals' bodies are always speak the way they are. People tend to, like I said, if you have a high tolerance or you're not connected in your body, people tend to be discounted or not be aware of it, but your body will always pick up what's going on, any type of irregularities or anything like that. And in Chinese medicine, we always want to find out what the root cause is. What's causing these problems? Is it emotional, mental, spiritual? Is it a combination or just one or the other? Or is it just physical overuse and things like that? Just because, we may have a problem with our shoulders doesn't mean it's an emotional thing. People always think sometimes, oh, yeah, in the woo-woo field, with the woo-woo field, it's like everything that's always a reason. Not always. Sometimes it's just overuse. It doesn't mean that it's just an emotional thing or spiritual or mental. So you got to be able to be very careful in what you decipher and what the truth is. You always be open, but also be in tune with the human body to find out what really the causes are. There goes my rant, Jason.
Well, it's words of wisdom. I think that, it becomes harder and harder to be healthy. Even if you have that intention and do what you think are the right things, there's so much bad information out there, and there are certain things that are not as in, you know, are not in our control as much, with being bombarded with, you know, all sorts of electromagnetic radiation from electronics, pesticides in the food, genetically modified food. I mean, even if you try your best, we're still being poisoned, you know, antibiotics.
Yeah.
And this and that. Even your drinking water, you know, they test drinking water and find, you know, trace amounts of all sorts of pharmaceuticals and fluoride, and, you know, all this stuff. And I mean, unless you're living true off the grid and growing your own stuff, it's hard to be completely natural.
Right. It's true. And even though that the certified organic per se, even though it may be literally certified organic, it can be, you know, it's only, what, 3 years? What is it, the 3 years maybe that could be certified organic? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, I'm just kind of looking at you, just I know your body and everything. I just kind of see you. There are some imbalances in the heart, and I'm just saying that because I see it, okay? So as a medical medium, definitely some imbalances, and I got to be very careful. I cannot prognose or diagnose you, per se, but, there may be some imbalances of the heart area. So, yeah, I'm glad you're getting it checked out. You should try medical Qigong. You know, it's powerful stuff. And see if possibly that we can kind of level out the palpitations and everything. You should always try it out. It doesn't hurt.
Oh, I'm getting to the point of trying some alternative stuff to see if that will help. And the other aspect, and this holds true for, you know, anybody else out there, not necessarily heart palpitations, but have chronic conditions, is when you have, you know, the mind-body connection, in my particular case, is, you know, chronic anxiety. And that is a known thing that causes all sorts of weird things, you know, with the body. And our mind probably, I mean, in my opinion, plays one of the greatest roles in our health. And there's lots mm-hmm. of examples that demonstrate that, you know, just the fact that we have placebos. You have, you're testing out a new drug, and you give people the real drug, and then you give people a placebo. That's how we have the placebo effect. People that take a sugar pill have miraculous recoveries from things. I mean, that's the power of the mind. And I've always thought that probably the biggest thing that would help me was to heal my mind, because I think a lot of the physical things would be cured, or if not cured, just better. But everybody, I've noticed that a lot of people out there, if not everybody, has some degree of mental illness, be it anxiety, depression. And it's hard not to when we live in a society where the governments want us to be on guard, alert, scared. I mean, there's always some level of tyranny that they're shoving down, the media is shoving down our throat, like, be afraid of terrorists or this and that. And the economy is going to collapse, or you're going to catch a deadly virus. I mean, it doesn't help people's mental state. And I think healing the mind would be, for anybody out there, whatever problems you have is the biggest thing through meditation. The problem with me is that I really don't have a lot of discipline. I have to be disciplined, you know, pick a time every day for this long transcendental meditation. Just take a deep breath and stuff like that. So I'm going to try to follow my own advice and start to calm myself down.
Well, that's a very good idea. That's a very, very good idea. That probably would be wonderful if you could. That's hard, though. You know what I mean? It's hard.
It's very hard when we live in a society that's centered around money and status and power and influence and ego, and that's how we've been taught since we were born, and it's hard to separate yourself from everything that's going on in the world and all the outside noise, and it's a challenge.
It is, absolutely. So I hope you're feeling better. Hey, anybody with open lines, yeah, you can call 1-215-383-3999 if you have any questions about paranormal. Just like Jason said earlier, we will welcome any calls and just share your experiences or anything that you want that's up on your mind. So please do call. Yeah, I can't believe it's Halloween tomorrow. And are you going to have a lot of trick-or-treaters?
I haven't even thought about that. I don't know if you know this about me, but I have absolutely no interest in any holidays. The only time that my ears perk up when there's a holiday is whether or not I get to take it off from work. I don't know. Last year, I took a unicorn onesie to work. I work in a hospital. I didn't wear it all day because it would be just ridiculous. And I work in a sterile area, and it's just not going to work. But I did put it on. Some people took some pictures. It's ridiculous. And it's funny because I'm 6 foot two and a half and 270 pounds, and the onesie is not big enough for me. So it was hilarious. But no, for this Halloween, I'm not prepping for anything. We'll turn the lights off and pretend we're not home.
Turn the lights off, and yeah, when you turn your lights off, that's an indication that you're not going to be hanging out, right?
Right. I would love to say that I don't want to do it because it's a pagan holiday and it worships the devil and stuff like that, but I don't really care about any of that. I stopped caring about Halloween when I was like 5 or something.
Oh, really? Wow.
Well, you know, I grew up.
Yeah,
I don't have kids.
Well,
that's the other thing. I don't have kids, so if I had kids, that would be different.
I was going to ask you if you had any. Do you remember going to school in California, and you had to go to Halloween parties, or your mom took you to Halloween or anything like that?
I remember trick or treating, and I remember it's awesome. You know, you go with all the getting all the candy and stuff like that. I'm coughing because those palpitations, they irritate my throat. Not my thing. Christmas, not my thing. Getting or giving presents isn't my thing. If I want presents, I'll go buy myself something. I'm pretty much Scrooge, unfortunately. But again, that stems from just not having kids and, you know, and I'm lazy. That's pretty much the biggest thing.
Wow. Oh, boy. That's crazy. Well, so you guys are going to shut the lights off.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm going to sit and watch movies. I don't know. I have to work tomorrow, so unfortunately.
Well, I'm working too, but I get to be home.
Yeah, I wish I had that luxury. Fortunately, I work close to where I live, but no, people still need to have various tissues removed from their body, and I have to be there to make sure everything goes smoothly and pathology. So, nope, I will be working.
So what's going on? Is there a new strain? Can I ask you, is there a new strain that's going around?
I don't know, but since you brought that up, something that I saw last week or the week before that disturbed me is one of the major universities, I don't remember which one, it was a regular news story. They have a level 3 biohazard lab or something, which is the highest where you can have like all the deadly stuff like Ebola and anthrax and all that. Well, they were playing around with the coronavirus, and they made a strain in the lab that was like 75% fatal. So I thought to myself, why the hell would this college, or I don't know, I'm sure they're affiliated with the government, make something more deadly? Like what goes, I don't get it at all. Why would we toy with something to make it even more dangerous?
And how dangerous is it? I'm not. I don't watch the news. It's so depressing, to be honest with you. I don't watch the news.
Well, if you say the current coronavirus, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but it's probably 1%, maybe fatal. So they took the existing, I don't know what strain, and they made it, instead of killing 1 out of 100 people, it would kill 75 out of 100 people. They took the virus, modified it to where it was more deadly. Now, of course, they would say that it's in a lab, it's totally secure, but accidents happen, you know. But and why? Like, what's the logic behind taking a virus and making it even more deadly? I don't get it, unless you want to make it a weapon, which doesn't surprise me. And now they're saying that there's actually proof that coronavirus, they were able to prove, I don't have sources in front of me, but they were able to prove that it was created in a lab. It's not naturally occurring. So, yeah, there you go. It's a problem with society. You know, everybody wants to weaponize things. You know, biological warfare. And you see this nonsense in Ukraine where now there's a standoff between Russia and the Western powers, and who knows, maybe we'll have a nuclear war. I doubt it, but you never know. Things get out of control. The United States isn't doing itself any favors by making the situation exponentially worse by providing modern weapons to Ukraine, but also taking additional nukes to Western Europe, and just makes more of a standoff situation. I don't know. This world is just, it's going to hell, Sherry, and who knows where it's going to end up.
Wow, that's horrible. Go ahead. I'm not keeping up with it, to be honest with you. Like I said, I'm in my own little world. I'm not keeping up with what's going on with the government and politics. I feel so depressed. So, you know, call me naive. I may, even if I did, I just let it go. I just let it roll off of me. Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of political talk, and it's my opinion. I am of the opinion of not making things worse, not making decisions that compromise the lives of people. Clearly, Russia's invasion and illegal annexation of Crimea is a terrible thing that should not occur. And I'm not a big fan of war, and it drives me. To me, I think about how can these people sleep at night? Not just Putin, you know. We have done far more worse than Putin has with the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan and all that. But that doesn't make it right, and it's pretty crappy. People need to just settle down, man. It's like an ego trip, you know. I have nukes, you have nukes. Let's stand off and point our nukes at each other, and it's just so dumb.
Jeez. That's crazy.
Yeah, so the state of things are not good in this world, but hopefully, one or two things are going to happen with this Ukraine situation. Either one side's going to have to back down, or this is just going to continue to escalate and be even worse, and potentially result in global thermonuclear annihilation, which everyone dies, or a lot of people die. And nobody wants
that. Is that what you're seeing in your opinion? What are you actually seeing right now?
It's going to happen eventually. I don't know that it's going to have anything to do with Russia or Ukraine, but it's inevitable for there to be another world war, and it inevitably will involve nuclear weapons. Whether this situation over there is the catalyst for that, I don't know. But if it happens, that's pretty bad. It's not just getting hit with the nuke. That's what everybody thinks about, and that's what everybody worries about. That's kind of the least of the problem, the actual blast. And actually, the least of the problem, the lesser problem, is the nuclear radiation fallout. That's terrible. But when you have a massive exchange of nukes, we're talking about thousands, probably somewhere between Russia and the United States alone, 20,000 nukes, somewhere in that neighborhood. All those blasts black out the sun, and for the people that do survive the radioactive fallout and the actual pressure wave and thermal burns, it would black out the sun. And that means crops die, animals die, and everybody just dies a slow death worldwide. Some people survive, but it would take ages for things to return to normal, and hopefully that doesn't happen. But there's not much you can do about it. Fortunately, we live in a city that's probably not at the top of the list in terms of targets, but it is on a target list, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. That's just, I don't know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket or what.
Well, if you're a paranormal investigator post-thermal nuclear war, you'd probably get a lot of EVPs because hundreds of millions of people will die. It'd be good for paranormal investigating, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it was interesting. We had a Clyde Lewis, the TOPA came through, and it was kind of like a poltergeist. Osaldi, Hildor, and we thought it was, at first we thought it was he's been doing this. He's been summoning this TOPA 2 years, and this particular spirit, or I wouldn't call it spirit, but this particular entity that came through is the prophet. Very much, very interesting. Talked about the Ukraine in a different way. Talked about how we're going to be, our food's all, poisoned with GMO. It's just really, really interesting in how the whole situation of our world is turning to. It's not good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we're living in a time of transition. I do believe that. The status quo isn't going to stay the same. The good lives that we have lived post Great Depression is probably in a stage of transition, whether that means war, whether that means economic disaster, famine, whatever. But I do believe that things are going to shift relatively quickly. And the wonderful lives that we have now are not going to be the same.
Wow. Oh boy.
Yeah. It's and you can see the signs of it. The signs of it are everywhere, with everything from inflation to shortages of whatever, and the debt of the United States, and then just. And other countries, that we're all interconnected with other countries. If China crashes, it's a ripple effect around the planet. If we crash, it's definitely going to be an interesting time to be alive. I was hoping that none of these things would happen until I could retire, but now I'm not sure. I think our next 2 to 3 years are going to be very interesting.
What do you think is going to happen? That's going to be interesting. What do you think? What do you think may be happening?
I think a nuclear war in exchange. I've never thought of Russia as being the main threat for nuclear war. I've always thought it was China. China is really the country you got to look at. But not only do we have the problems with Ukraine, there's the problem with Taiwan and and there's another standoff that could potentially go there. The other possibility, which I think is probably more likely to occur than just a full-on nuclear war with another superpower. Actually, I don't think they're considered superpowers, but another big country would just be an economic collapse. And that would be an absolute, complete nightmare.
Wow.
You know, basically, we've seen it with other countries where, I think Germany was one, post-World War II. There's some countries in Africa where they just print money and, you know, you can have like a $50 billion bill that won't buy a loaf of bread, you know, that sort of thing. And
we're having problems with our, you know, with our supply. You even go to Safeway, go to local Safeway. You go and I don't want to say I'm doing making an example, but maybe a quarter of the food, some of the shelves are cleared out.
I haven't seen too much of that. I've seen that a little bit, but the prices are definitely going up. I went and bought just some groceries this morning and spent $130 on what I thought should be maybe $50 worth of food. You know, it's just getting
really
expensive.
How exactly
it's getting
is
expensive.
It?
It would have been the equivalent of probably two bags.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, you would think you should be able to get 4 or 5 bags of groceries. It's just getting everything's just getting more expensive, especially up here in the Northwest. Rent, if you pay rent up here in the Northwest, it's one of the top 10 most expensive places to rent.
Oh, is it really?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
It's getting,
is it the top 10?
I think it was the 10th. But it's still on the list, and it's really expensive. We can see the effects of this economy and the effects of the pandemic, because that was definitely a contributing factor to the homelessness situation, people losing their jobs and all this sort of thing. You know, all the homeless people and tents on the sidewalks and, you know. So this is what leads me to believe that at the current rate of the way things are going, that this economy is not going to, it can't go like this forever. And when it crashes, it's going to be a nightmare. There will be a mad rush food at the store. It'll be riots. Your money will be essentially be worthless. Martial law. People will starve, and it's going to be, I mean, I hate to be a doomsayer and all that, but it's not a matter of if it's going to happen, just like it's not a matter if it's going to happen World War III. It's just a matter of when, and I think we're fairly close to economic collapse. Now, I'm not an economist. I don't know. I'm a dumb person. Don't have much college. It's just a guess, but that's what my uneducated feeling is on that.
Sounds pretty good to me. You know, I mean, it does. I, you know, when you say those kind of things, it really does. Dr. Heldor, she even mentioned about Ukraine. She said it in kind of riddles, the way she was putting the letters together and I was describing it. But basically, we're having problems with Ukraine. There's going to be problems with nuclear war. This is the prophecy talking. Poisoned water, possible, and I'm not saying it is, possible cannibalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. You know, it's many cases of cannibalism. Go to Papua New Guinea. They like to roast people. At least they used to. Yeah, it could get to that. I mean, people are going to eat their pets. I know people say, oh, I'd never eat my dog. Well, try starving and your dog's going to look pretty tasty. I mean, I like my cats and all, but they would be dinner if I was starving.
Hopefully I never get to that point. You have to do that.
Yeah, and that's why I've always said, you know, on this show that, you know, we should all be prepared as much as possible, whether it be this, that, natural disaster, whatever, to have a stock of food, you know, as much as you can, and water, and whatever you need to get by, at least for the first initial month or few weeks of whatever happens. Because you don't want to be one of those people that don't have no food, that's rushing to a grocery store in a riot situation, and people do crazy things when they're hungry. And
the worst comes out, yeah. Doesn't it?
Yeah, and we've seen examples of that with Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, just mass craziness. And when people get hungry, thirsty, you know, logic and compassion go out the door and people get cray. So to have whatever you need to defend yourself, have enough food to last a little while, at least to get over the hump. So it's always best to be prepared. It's best to have a food stock and not need it and maybe have to throw away a few cans of food or whatever than to not have any food and then need it and then, you know, and then you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, yeah. Or you're better off just giving it away before you think it's going to go bad, right? You know, a lot of the food banks are probably in demand.
And just remember those use-by dates on those canned food. Depending on what it is, but if it's canned and it says, you know, and it expired a month ago, that stuff can last for a long time, even beyond those dates. Those are like suggested dates consumed by. It doesn't mean it's gone bad if you're past the date.
Except dairy. I wouldn't go past dairy, to be honest with you. I would not.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with dairy. Of course, meats and stuff like that, if they're not frozen. You got to be careful. If you can your own stuff, hopefully you know what you're doing, because people die from doing their own canning from botulism. best to be prepared.
Yeah, just to be prepared, huh?
Well, I don't know. Are you prepared? How much food you got right now?
I am prepared, but, you know, it's best in a way, but I don't have the temperament, but it's better to grow your own food if you can. You know, if you can or have the time. I just really, in a way, don't have the time, let alone the patience, but best way is if you can grow your own food, have your own chickens, you know, if you have, you know, animals, if you're going to eat meat and that kind of thing. I couldn't do that. I couldn't stand going in. I couldn't stand killing my own animals for meat like that. I couldn't. I'm too much of an empath and a compassionate person to look in somebody in the eye and say, I'm going to kill you because I'm going to eat you up. I just can't do that.
I guess that's where we differ. I'd be like, put some salt and pepper on that puppy dog. It's looking pretty good. Throw some over the fire.
I couldn't do taters. That. No. But, you know, that's what they're talking about Friday night on Clyde Lewis, is maybe possible cannibalism, you know, flesh-eating radioactive. I was scribing, so I was actually trying to write down, and I wasn't really my job to interpret. It was the audience's job to interpret what was being said, and that we had viewer call-ins. The phone lines were just, you know, were buzzing. They were just ringing just like crazy. And so it's kind of interesting how there might be, we don't know that, but it's just prospectively. Dr. Hildor said that might be going to resort to that. People are going to start getting desperate, just like you said.
Yep. You have an advantage in where you live. Me, I'm in a pretty terrible position. But I have the means and the training to defend myself. And I think I probably have enough food for maybe a month for two people. And then there's the cats. You could eat them, and, you know, that's a couple good meals there, right there.
Oh, you don't want to do that. No.
Of course I don't want to do that, but if it came down to it and I'm starving.
Because you're a meat eater.
I love me some meat.
Hey, can I
actually
ask you, how do you find out what type blood you are? How do you find that out? Blood test, obviously, will tell you.
Yeah, it's just a blood test, and it's actually really quick. There's actual analyzers that'll do it, and then there's also a simpler way. I don't think uses an analyzer. But, I had it done when I worked in the clinical lab twice. I think I was O pos or O neg. I can't remember, but I remember it was definitely O.
Me
I think
too.
That's the only way.
I'm not sure if I'm O positive or O negative. I think I'm O positive.
Well, you're lucky to be O. Anybody that's O, which is one of the most common ones, some of the other ones like A and B and stuff like that, they've found that those people are more susceptible to certain medical conditions. And that blood type O has some protective qualities to it with regards to certain medical conditions, including getting the coronavirus. So... way to go.
Really?
Way to go, yep. Way to go, our O's out there.
So if you're AB, you're more susceptible to different things. I know somebody who's AB or A or B. What are they more susceptible? I'm just curious.
I can't remember. It's been a while since I read about it. I think there was some heart disease was one of them. But there were several where it was statistically established that those certain blood types are significantly more likely to develop some of those other conditions, which I don't remember all of them.
Wow. Well, anything paranormal? Let's talk about paranormal for the next, 10 minutes that we're on it live on air. What's anything paranormal that's going on with you?
Nothing paranormal. I have not noticed anything in my house, fortunately. I've seen a few objects move at the hospital that made me kind of scratch my head, but I can't say that they're paranormal. Sometimes things just shift and move, but you know me, I'm always on high alert looking for stuff. Now, I will say this. I haven't mentioned this before because I don't know if it's paranormal, and that's the reason I haven't mentioned this, is I have my places set up with surveillance cameras inside and out.
And oh, wow.
I've noticed, yeah, it's pretty awesome because I can pull up any of the cameras on my phone, motion detection, everything. I really take security seriously. I like to know what's happening. So, but one of the things I've noticed for a long time now, I don't know why I haven't mentioned this, is the outside camera. Late at night, there's a huge, it's hard to describe, dark mass on the concrete outside the front door, and it just dissipates. Huh. And it's almost every night. And I was looking at it the other day, and I'm like, what is that? I see it all the time. It just shows up there. And then it doesn't look like it's floating. You know what I mean? It's not like this dark cloud that's floating. It's like on the pavement, and it just dissipates, and I've watched it, and I'm like, I don't get it, and it's late at night every time. I don't see it any other time. Is it paranormal? I don't know.
Are you open to my opinion?
Sure.
So why don't you just send it to me, and we'll talk about it next week. I don't have anything going on next week. So we can talk about it on radio next week. But shoot me that clip, and I'll take a look. And
okay,
I'll give you the results.
I'll have to wait till I see it again, and then I'll take a little video of it, and you can tell me what you think. You know, it could just be a camera artifact, but it's so consistent late at night that I'm not grasping it. There's, like, no lights that are, like, going on and off or anything like that. It's weird. It wasn't making me nervous or anything because I thought, well, that just has to be something weird. But, yeah, I don't know. But next time I see it, which probably won't take very long, But, you know, in order for the camera to record, it has to detect motion. So it's also triggering the motion on the camera.
Okay, let's talk about it. We've got something to talk about next week, next Sunday, okay?
Yeah, for sure. I will I'll hopefully see it, and it seems to be pretty consistent. And I'll let you know if I got it on there.
Okay. So something paranormal, something recently, probably the last month. I take pictures in my yard. I got a free flowing stream, a creek in my yard, and one day I had a picture taken, and guess what? My cat nine and a half years ago. What's that? Just a sec. If you like, call that a full apparition right on the creek.
You took a picture of your deceased cat?
Yes.
And was it
like
a...
I see it?
Yeah, text it to me.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've been so blessed. I know that life after death exists. It's just amazing. But I have been so, so blessed to get pictures of things like that. And you being a skeptic, this has not been touched. There's no modifications, CIGs, anything. No enhancement. This is what you see is what you get. So
no, I totally believe it. I know you're not super tech savvy, so I know you're not editing the photo.
I'm not. That's the problem. I'm not tech savvy. So I'm going to send it to you right now if I can find it. I'm scrolling right now, and I'm going to send it to you and see what your thoughts are. Okay, so I'm just almost there here. Let me get to it. And,
okay.
Yeah, this is a picture of my kitty cat.
Now,
very,
I'll be
very
honest.
Interesting.
If I don't see a cat, I'm going to be honest, so I don't want to hurt your feelings. Yeah,
well,
maybe.
It's pretty obvious. I've showed it with, you know, with a couple people, and they said, wow, that looks like a cat. And I go, yeah, tell me about it. It looks something's just, you know, something just doesn't look right. And so that's when I thought, okay, there's something here going on.
Are you sure it's not like a stray cat or two twigs that look like a cat or?
You know, that can happen. That's a possibility. I'm not going to say it isn't. That can happen, but let me see here if I can get here. I'm just trying to. We got a few minutes anyway, even if we go a few minutes over time. I'm just gonna scroll here. It's just here to do it. It's hard to look through the tiles. Is it her?
I want to see the ghost.
But it does.
Kitty.
It does exist. Somehow, some way, the spirits will let you know, and especially when you have had a big connection with them. And this was caught very much off guard. I looked at my pictures after I shoot. I said, oh, yeah, this is okay. But this one is like, wow, this looks like my cat. Oh, my gosh. What's going on over here? See here.
Can't wait to see it.
Okay. Okay. Do we got somebody calling in? I just got a text. Do we got somebody calling in? Just really quick.
Oh, I was looking at a different screen here. Let me check.
Okay. Go ahead.
This person says she wants to share a story.
Take the call. Go ahead and take the call. And I'll go grab the photo, please.
Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you. Wow. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Hi. So
hi.
We're
here for ghost stories right now. Go ahead.
Okay. This is a story that I had been meaning to share with Sherry. I'm not sure if I had. I don't think I ever talked about it because it scared me that badly that I don't think I've told anyone about it. But my husband works nights, and so I'm alone at night. And I think this happened in June. But I was going to sleep, and this was during a time that I was kind of sleep deprived. I hadn't been sleeping very well, and I don't know, maybe this attributed to that, but I woke up around 3 or so, and I always have a light on in my hallway so I can see stuff. I don't like sleeping in the dark, and I went to sit up, and my entire body was paralyzed. I was awake, but my entire body was just paralyzed. I couldn't move. And I started to hear footsteps coming up the stairs, and it was really loud. And I knew that wasn't good because I should have been home by myself and no one should have been there. And I could hear it getting closer and closer. And I saw, it was like a shadow figure. It was like the shape of a person, but it was completely blacked out, like just kind of like an outline, like a shadow. And it was walking towards me, and I was just so terrified, and my body was frozen, and I was trying so hard to get up and get out of there. And it stood over me, and it just stared at me like it was standing over me. It didn't have a face or anything, but I think it was just looking at me. And I was just so terrified, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't talk. I couldn't scream for help. I was trying really hard to scream so that someone could hear me. And I just thought to myself, I have to move my body somehow in order to wake my body up. And I just put all my force into just trying to move, and I moved slightly, and that just snapped me out of it. And I couldn't see what I had been seeing before. It all went away.
Well, that sounds terrifying.
My husband. Yeah, it was the most terrifying experience I've ever had. And I told my husband about it, but he thinks I was dreaming it, but I know that I was awake. I know I wasn't dreaming it, and I know what I saw. And I don't know if you guys would have any explanation to what that could have been or what happened.
That sounds like Jason. Wasn't it sounds like sleep paralysis? She had sleep paralysis. She's conscious, but she's not able to move. I've had that before, but I was laying down.
Well, it's hard to say for sure. It certainly could have been real and paranormal. There are certain things that happen in the brain that cause similar, if not the same, sort of thing. The sleep paralysis, basically, there's hypnagogic hallucinations, particularly when you're waking up or just when you're falling asleep. Your brain doesn't turn off or on correctly. And so you get the sleep paralysis, which is your brain's way of keeping you safe when you're dreaming. That's why that happens, is because when you're dreaming, so you're not acting out. So you're not acting out your dreams, but there's a cross in those wires in that transition state from waking or just falling asleep, where that gets all wonky, and then you can get visual and audio hallucinations. I have not had the paralysis part of it. I've had the hallucination part of it twice, and it was as real as being awake. Was it that? It's hard to say, but that sort of thing does happen, and there is an organic reason for that having to do with hypnagogic hallucination, aka sleep paralysis. What if it was me and I was you in your place? If there was like other activity that was going on, paranormal activity, I would take more notice of that and be like, okay, you know, something's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's my take. Me is that I think that this is real for her because I know this gal. She's one of my clients. I know her personally. So I'm going to vouch for her. This is not something that she would make up. Now, maybe a listener that I wouldn't know, or I would probably, you know, tune in and open up that door. But I know her personally. She would not make this step up. This gal that's calling in is an empath. She is definitely an empath. We've got people that are empaths. They're naturally born gifted with being able to see or feel or things of that nature around them. Being able to know that you can't move your body, to me, is some type of paralysis. Being the shadow figure, I do believe that there are there, and this thing is hovering over you. So I do not think it's made up. I absolutely, we need to figure out why, and I don't do the dark side anymore or as a consultant, but we need to figure out why. Where is it coming from? What is the land?
In the last apartment that I lived in, when I lived in Beaverton, Sherry, I do actually remember seeing another shadow. I'm not sure if it was the same one and if it could have followed me, but I did have somebody that was like a shadowy figure jump at me, and then it was just gone.
Okay. So they do. There's a different dimension. Do you know that, Jason? When the shadow figure is coming through, they're like a different dimension.
Yeah, I've seen shadow figures before. I always tell people that take whatever you see before you fall asleep, like when you're trying to fall asleep, and what happens right after you wake up with a grain of salt. Just because things can get weird. But not saying, it's totally real. Absolutely, it's real. I don't think you're making it up. I mean, that it happened, but I'm just throwing out there that there could be an explanation for that.
So,
my cringe after that. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. My thing is what I can suggest is before you go to bed at night to say a prayer. Please protect me. I don't want anybody in the house. Being able to, you know, as long as, you know, you just take a prayer and just say that, you know, you're whoever you believe in or your ancestors or whoever you want to call in, watch over you and don't make an appearance. Don't even come in. Don't even bother. Protect your home, protect your belongings, protect your family. Protect your pets, those kind of things, and stay out and have no reason to be there and just let it go. Okay? Something simple. Don't make anything complicated. Some people want to have all these rituals and say, you could, but as long as your intentions are to make sure to say, you know, you don't belong in this house. You're not coming in. You're not going to wake me up. You're not going to make an appearance. Go somewhere else. Basically, go somewhere else and go back to where you came from, but you're not coming in here. When you're setting the intentions, absolutely setting the intentions. And I do believe you. I've seen shadow too. And I thought, oh, what am I attracting? Is this somebody that I'm attracting or whatever? And I just set the intentions that as long as they're not invited to be in my house, I don't want nobody in my house except my mom, maybe my dad, you know, my dad, my stepdad. I don't mind them coming. You know, I love that because I know they're protecting me. But anybody else that's uninvited, do not want to be in your house, let alone around your house or anything like that. Just set your intentions.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any more questions, call me. I'll let you know what to do, okay? I can suggest things.
Okay.
Because I know you.
Thank you.
So I'd be happy to talk to you, okay? So, Jason, did you get that piece of – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Jason? I'm so sorry.
Oh, I didn't say anything. That was must have been a phantom voice. Okay, I did get the picture you sent me with the cat. And I see what you're saying. It does look like a cat. Without seeing the sight, I can't say whether or not, I mean, to me it could be pareidolia. Just I'm looking at what I'm looking at. It doesn't look like it's three-dimensional. It looks like it's 2D to me, like it's on the flat surface, but I don't know. It's hard to say, but I'll give you that. It does look like a cat. I mean, I see the ears, I can see the face, I see the body, and it's proportionate.
Well, what I'm looking at, and I'm like you. I want to be judged. You know, we're both Leos. You know, I want to be able to. That's part of what I do in Chinese medicine. I want to be able to be grounded and have some common sense, but also see is there a possibility. Now, when I see that, the first thing I see, this apparition, is the cat. But look at the pattern around that water. Look at the pattern. It's off. You know what I mean? It's not like it goes with the flow of things that could be part of the inside of the – no, this is the creek. This is inside of a creek. Is the creek going to look like this all of a sudden? That's what I got to see. Would that have that weird shape in a creek like that? I don't think so.
So I didn't even realize that was water.
That's water.
If you look to the right of the cat, and I know this is hard for people that are listening, There are those vertical areas of the lighter color, which looked to me to be reflections. Now, was it light outside? It was daylight. So I, those,
it was daylight.
To me, it looks, it's a cool photograph. It does, absolutely look like a cat. But I, to
but
me, it could be a reflection.
It doesn't look like this water flow. Yeah, I don't know. That's why I just kind of had to discount it, whether it's something that would be something that's out of the ordinary or not. Yeah, this is the creek. This is literally the creek.
Okay, so if you look at the image, so when I think of a ghost cat, I think of it, because I don't know, maybe not. But I look at it as a three-dimensional image.
Okay.
What I would expect, what I would expect to see, like when you see a ghost cat walking by or sitting. And to me, the cat, it does look like a cat. It looks to be two-dimensional reflection on the water.
Okay. So the one on top of that, the upper circle, we're going to look really quickly. The upper circle that we see, kind of looked at the first thing I said, that's my dog that passed on.
That one, I'm not seeing anything. But I also want to add that there's a lot to this universe we don't know. I don't know that a cat can't project its spirit to look like a reflection on water. You see what I'm saying? So
and water's the portal.
That could be a way of it manifesting. Maybe it can't manifest three-dimensionally. Maybe it manifests as an image, like a reflection on a water. So, but it does look like a cat.
That could be. That could be. Yeah, I just kind of baffled me the way it was just like, wow, what's going on? And I look at the pattern with the water, and it doesn't even look right. You know what I mean? It doesn't match to what the water pattern is in the background. It just doesn't look fluid. It looks like there's something that's just kind of a little bit off. That's why it got my attention.
So if it was me, I would go back, try and recreate that at the same exact time of day, and take that picture again and see if it's still there.
Okay. And then what? As a paranormal investigator, what do you do? What happens in that case? If you try and replicate it at the same time, same date, what happens? What's your findings?
I would go up to the location and see if it's a reflection, see if I can see it with my naked eye. Then I would, if I don't see it with my naked eye, then I would try and recreate the photo at the same time of day.
No, I couldn't see it with my naked eye. No, not at all.
Yeah. So the thing that makes me think that it's a reflection is the parts of it to the right where you can, it looks like the trees, the lights coming through the trees. You know?
Oh, okay.
So
I see that. Yeah.
It is different. Those other areas don't resemble anything. The cat is very clear. So I would just try and recreate it with another picture. And if it's still there, then it's just a reflection.
Pretty subjective. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, the first thing I see is a cat. Like, oh, shoot.
I saw it right away. It looks like a cat.
Yeah.
It's got ears and everything, and everything.
Yeah, you don't want to go and get too much into it or anything like that. But, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, shoot me out that clip if you get a chance, and I will talk about it next week. We'll talk about that, see what's going on. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
I want to say that the cat is also proportionate. So it is a spitting image of a cat sitting. It's not like a weird image where the cat...
It's like looking in the water. It's like the way it's sitting, it's looking in the water, looking towards the water. That's what, or looking across the creek. It's interesting. Yeah. I'll tell you, I got a picture. I got a better photo. I got one of my dog. My Shih Tzu that passed away, I asked him to come forth 4 days after his passing. He showed up, and it was very obvious it was him. I'll have to show you that one too.
Yeah, I know for sure. Well, we went a little over, right. And I got a meatloaf to eat, so, and I'm starving.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, a meatloaf, a classic American thing.
I haven't had meatloaf in years. Oh my gosh, love meatloaf. My gosh.
Oh.
Well, I'm tour next week, so if you want to go on, we can go on.
Oh, one thing I wanted to add to the caller is, my intention isn't to disprove. I know she's not making it up, but it's actually not that uncommon for people to experience that in certain variations. But I recommend keeping a journal on all the weird stuff that happens or weird dreams, because sometimes that can be kind of revealing. And if that keeps happening, just document it and check it out. And you were saying that, saying a prayer. I'm Captain Skeptical. And you know what I do every night when I go to bed? I have my own mantra that I say that cast out all negative energies, dark forces, and stuff like that. And that's me as a skeptic. So I do that as well because I'm not stupid. I don't know everything. And I sure as hell got enough drama in my life. I don't need to draw on negative energies. So that is absolutely great advice to do that. And it works because it's your intention and you're putting that energy out there. Power of intention never lets you down. And with that, Sherry,
yes.
I got to eat dinner.
All right, great. Well, I'll plug myself in really quickly. So if anybody wants to have any readings, I'm in Chinese medicine and medical medium for 23 years now. You have any questions, go ahead and get a hold of me. I do psychic and mediumship. Get a hold of me on Facebook, Psychic Medium Sherry, it's C-H-E-R-I, or you can get a hold of me on my website at www.psychicmediumsherry, again, it's C-H-E-R-I.com. So get a hold of me, use the contact forms if you are interested. We'll go from there, but Chinese medicine, psychic and mediumship, and we'll see you next Sunday. We can move on.
I hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and we'll see everybody next Sunday.
Yay!
Good night, everyone.
We are. Thank you. Guys, thanks for your support. Happy Halloween. Be safe, and thank you for all your support. Love and peace.
Absolutely. Love and peace, everyone. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.